Let's pray. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, you are so big and we are so small. You own the cattle on a thousand hills. Lord, nothing happens that escapes your notice. You're not surprised by anything. And for that, we are truly comforted and truly grateful. Fathers, we open your word and look into it and try to understand what it means for us. Pray that you'd open our hearts, open our ears, Lord, that we would hear what you have to say, and open our hearts to receive it with gladness. And help me, Lord, in bringing this meditation today. Oh, we thank you so much for all that you are and all that you do. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So if you could turn with me to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21, we're going to read a couple of verses here, starting in verse 25. So Proverbs 21, 25. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. So today I'd like to focus on the last seven words of that portion that we just read. The righteous giveth and spareth not. In August of 1947, the Pennsylvania Historical and Museum Commission erected a historical marker on Route 611, just east of the town of Martins Creek and a stone's throw from the Delaware River. And it reads this way: the log house occupied by the Presbyterian missioner to the Indians in 1744 was a short distance away on the side road. It was here the youthful zealot wrote part of his journal. The heading on that marker reads, David Brainerd. For over 2.5 centuries, the life and ministry of David Brainerd has captured countless Christians. And if you've not read the diary and journal of David Brainerd, if I can focus there, by Jonathan Edwards, I encourage you to do so. It is really a truly soul-stirring account. It speaks volumes about this missionary to the Indians. And it speaks volumes about his life in piety and holiness and his prayer life. Stephen Lee brought a message about 3 years ago to our United Prayer Group about the holiness of David Brainerd. And if you've not heard that or it's been a while, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it. It was quite excellent. But my focus today is going to be on the sparing not facet of David Brainerd. David Brainerd was born on April 20, 1718. He was the sixth of nine children. He was born in Haddam, Connecticut. He would die at the young age of 29. The simple epithet on his tombstone reading, a faithful and laborious missionary to the Stockbridge, Delaware, and Susquehanna tribes of Indians. He was born to Christian parents. He lost his father when he was only 9 years old. And then he lost his mother a short 5 years later at age 14. He would be brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ at age 21. This has been written about his conversion experience. On July 12, 1739, as he returned to his secret place of prayer, God spoke to him as light dawning, and he had a glorious salvation experience. Now he wondered why all the world could not see this lovely, blessed, and excellent way. He states as he was walking in a dark, thick grove, unspeakable glory seemed to open to the view and apprehension of his soul. The remaining 18 years of David Brainerd's life would be spent living out our text, the righteous giveth and spareth not. Brainerd's call to the mission field would come while he was attending Yale University. A man by the name of Ebenezer Pembertson gave an address about missionary work to the American Indians, and that stirred David's soul. The next day, on his 23rd birthday, Brainerd vowed to, quote, be wholly the Lord's, to be forever devoted to his service. He would receive his license to preach and would travel as an itinerant preacher for several months. And he served for several weeks filling in a vacant pulpit on Long Island, where he was nearly begged to stay as their permanent pastor. He so easily could have settled down quietly to pastor this congregation in New York, but he felt so strongly the call of God to reach the Native Americans that he could not stay. The righteous giveth and spareth not. He said later, I never since I began to preach could feel any freedom to enter into other men's labors and settle down in the ministry where the gospel was preached before. God had called him to preach where Christ was not named or known. In the book's introduction, this is written: can we imagine a missionary of the person and the cross and the throne of Jesus Christ more absorbed in the work of his high calling? About Brainerd, they say, he rides 4,000 miles in a year, on horseback no less, and many of them are through forest and over mountain and up the trackless gorge along which the torrent tumbles and plunges on its way to unite its waters with those of a mightier river. At nights, he lies out in the open fields and in the open woods. When he comes to a settlement of the red men, he must spend time and patience in striving to answer the frivolous questions and to allay their jealousies before ever they will accord his permission to unfold the first principles of the gospel. He preaches in the wigwams in the coldest and windiest weather, when the huts are full of smoke as well as indescribably filthy. One or two listen, but the majority laugh and mock. Some are playing with their dogs, some whittling sticks. All of them wonder what this strange visitor can mean. Yet these initial difficulties never daunt him, and little by little he gains the confidence of the tribes that have learned to suspect the white man and wish to have no friendly intercourse with him or his. Four times over at different places, he builds himself a humble house of logs and turf. He has conquered the distrust of his neighbors and can live amongst them with their hearty goodwill. David Brainerd, he labored on in this work, embodying our text, "The righteous giveth and spareth not." Brainerd also suffered a lot in his short time on earth. He suffered spiritually. He was, as Jonathan Edwards puts it, one who by his constitution and natural temper was so prone to melancholy and dejection of spirit. If you look at his diary and journal, there are many entries that illustrate the times that his spirit was in distress. I call out one for our contemplation as an example. Thursday, April 7th, appeared to myself exceedingly ignorant, helpless, and unworthy, and altogether unequal to my work. It seemed to me I should never do any service or have any success among the Indians. My soul was weary of my life. I longed for death beyond measure. When I thought of any godly soul departed, I was ready to envy him his privilege, thinking, oh, when will my turn come? Must it be years first? But I know those ardent desires at this and other times rose partly from want of resignation to God under all miseries, and so were but expressions of impatience. Toward night, I had, I think, the exercise of faith and prayer and some assistance in writing. Oh, that God would keep me near him. But these times of extreme self-reflection would also produce a realization of his true inward motives concerning his religious activity. He recorded this: while I remained in this state, my notions respecting my duties were quite different from what I had ever entertained in times past. Before this, the more I did in duty, the more hard I thought it would be for God to cast me off. Though at the same time I confessed and thought I saw that there was no goodness or merit in my duties. But now, the more I did in prayer or any other duty, the more I saw I was indebted to God for allowing me to ask for mercy. For I saw it was self-interest had led me to pray, and that I had never once prayed from any respect to the glory of God. Now I saw there was no necessary connection between my prayers and the bestowment of divine mercy, that they laid not the least obligation upon God to bestow his grace upon me, and that there was no more virtue or goodness in them than there would be in my paddling with my hand on the water, and this because they were not performed from any love or regard to God. I saw that I had been heaping up my devotions before God, fasting, praying, pretending, and indeed really thinking sometimes that I was aiming at the glory of God, whereas I never once truly intended it, but only my own happiness. It really made me pause and think about the way in which I pray. Am I truly aiming at the glory of God, or really only at my own happiness? It's a question that I wrestle with. David Brainerd also suffered physically. He had tuberculosis that was made exceedingly worse by the elements in which he did his mission work. It was said that if there was snow on the ground, you could tell where David Brainerd had traveled by the trail of blood that he left. Even through it all, he would continue to press on, counting his life much less important than the work the Lord had called him to. Another great example of the righteous giveth and spareth not. If there was a single sentence to sum up the missionary life of David Brainerd, I think it would have to be this. He prayed. By all accounts, he was a man who exemplified and truly lived out 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Again, I call our attention to Jonathan Edwards' writings about David Brainerd. We enjoyed the comfort and advantage of hearing him pray. He expressed himself with the strictest propriety, with weight and pungency, and yet what his lips uttered seemed to flow from the fullness of his heart. As deeply impressed with a great and solemn sense of our necessities, unworthiness, and dependence, and of God's infinite greatness, excellency, and sufficiency, rather than merely from a warm and fruitful brain pouring out good expressions. 1 hour with God, Brainerd maintained, while he was still a youth at college, exceeds all the pleasures and delights of this lower world. In a journal entry that he had made when he had heard that the next day the Indians were intended to meet together for an idolatrous feast and dance, Brainerd wrote, "My soul was as much drawn out as ever I remember. I was in such anguish and pleaded with so much earnestness that when I rose from my knees, I felt extremely weak and overcome. I could scarcely walk straight. My joints were loosed. The sweat ran down my face and body, and nature seemed as if it would dissolve. So far as I could judge, I was wholly free from selfish ends in my fervent supplications for the poor Indians. I cared not where or how I lived, or what hardships I went through, so that I could but win souls to Christ. While I was asleep, I dreamed of these things, and when I awakened, as I frequently did, the first thing I thought of was this great work of pleading for God against Satan." In his communion with God around the throne of grace, there's no doubt that David Brainerd lived out the text, "The righteous giveth and spareth not." And so I'd like to close with asking some very important questions. How is it with us? Do we give and spare not? We've been made righteous by the blood of Christ. How much do we give? How much do we spare not? For God truly has instructed us very plainly that the righteous giveth and spareth not. Amen.